This series contains themes of an adult nature, including discussions surrounding eating disorders and disordered eating. Listener discretion is advised.
The Right Fit with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.
Sports and exercise are something most have a shared interest in, but sometimes our mind can create problematic relationships with these things.
Your eating disorder voice tells you that they're just trying to steal me from you.
I used to go running in the dark so no one would see me.
I was the biggest person there, and that's challenging. Like,
every single piece of exercise that I did was like a punishment.
Fitting into the sporting world and being like the people we see online or in our gyms is often something we seek. But is it achievable, or is it simply a myth?
The hospital told me, you actually may never exercise again. I said, well, that's not on the cards.
I would have battled a lot with self-confidence and self-image. So it was kind of an idea of, let's do this because it will make me look better.
Do you know, your weight is not your worth.
No one says, oh, you're too big or you're too small for that. No one.
These real stories show that rebuilding our positive relationships with exercise is non-linear, but possible, and can often lead to being our happiest, healthiest selves.
The Right Fit
with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.
Welcome to episode 2 of The Right Fit, and I am now joined by Mark Donnelly from HUH Clothing. Mark, you and your brand have been advocating for mental health awareness for a really, really long time, as long as I can remember being a teenager as well. And that acronym, HUH, How's Your Head? I've seen it in numerous places over the years, but it's your own story with mental health and body image that I find most fascinating about all of this. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so like you said, I started HUH, How's Your Head, and I've always kind of had struggles with anxiety, which has led to ultimately OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And from a young age, I didn't really know what it was, so I would have turned to exercise. I didn't really know how I was feeling, so I would have turned to food. And ultimately, that experience, a kind of bad relationship with food, ended up turning to exercise. And then exercise is a form of like stress relief. It was a form of, I would have battled a lot with self-confidence and self-image. So it was kind of an idea of, let's do this because it will make me look better. And there was definitely good and bad sides to my exercise. But I draw a lot on the good because I constantly like run. I played GAA all my life. I played golf, hurling, rugby, everything. You name it, I've probably done it. But it was literally kind of just my way of dealing with my anxieties and my mental health issues, which is essentially why I set up a mental health awareness clothing brand.
It's inspiring, though, that those experiences motivated you to create a literal brand around minding your mental health that's gone on to benefit so many others. But to pick up on something that you said there, you say you noticed that when you were younger, you were starting to engage with unhealthy patterns with exercise. When did you start to realize you needed to do something about that and get a handle on it? And how did you move past it then?
Yeah, so as I said, so I turned to food, right? So I was eating my feelings, and then I piled on all this weight, which ultimately led to not being able to perform in the sports that I was playing, which then led to me having worse mental health, because I was once playing these sports, then I piled on loads of weight. Now I couldn't play them to the ability I played them at. So one day, the switch just flipped in my head where I decided to start running, okay? And I latched onto this idea. It was in my own time. I was a bit self-conscious with my image at the time. So I used to go running in the dark around the football pitch just around the corner from my house here, but also in the Phoenix Park, so no one would see me. And eventually I became more confident in it. But what happened is the goalpost kind of just kept moving. So initially, it was self-image, and it's kind of just like the underlying message of anxiety, right? So initially it was self-image, and that's why I was exercising so much. And then once I got to kind of a point of, well, no, you're fitter than ever. You're running races, you're playing well, you're performing at a high level. The anxiety was still there. The goalpost just kept moving. So the healthy habit then became an unhealthy habit. And because I have OCD, and I become quite obsessive and attached to things that I really love in an anxious way. So I would exercise every day. And if I didn't get to exercise, I feel like my whole day would be thrown off. And so this healthy habit became an unhealthy obsession. And so now, as I'm growing older, I'm 29 now, and I'm constantly still exercising, but I have a better relationship with my self-image, even though I work on it still to this day, I struggle with it. But exercise in particular, because I know myself personally, is your rest is just as important as the exercise. The way you fuel your body is just as important. So it was kind of over time, and with a lot of help from others, to be honest, and a lot of kind of self-reflection to realize, okay, if you don't exercise today, it's not going to be the end of the world. Like, what's the worst case scenario? Because the best case scenario is you're going to be very well rested and you're going to be very well fueled for the next time you go out and do a run or play a game or get back on the training pitch.
In terms of what steps then that you took to confront the unhealthy habits and the obsessions that had formed around exercise because of partly your experience with OCD, did you go to any mental health services along the way to help you out?
Yeah, so if we kind of get down to the root core and cause of it, right, it wasn't really the nature of the thing I was doing, exercise was not the problem. It was like the underlying self-confidence anxiety. So to pair that back from the surface level, I would have been very obsessed over this. But when you pare it down and you go back and you start from the beginning, it's because there were self-confidence and anxiety issues. So when I think I was 24 when I set up this brand, and that was the first time I went and spoke to a professional. And it was all based around self-image and self-confidence and realizing, like, I remember one of the first days they said to me, you need to speak to yourself the way you speak to your best friend. Because if you spoke to your best friend the way you're currently speaking to yourself, you wouldn't have a best friend. And it changed my whole perspective. And that was kind of the starting point of like positive self-talk towards myself, especially in the space of, okay, you can't get out to the gym today. You've done so much more than you should have this week. You're fitter than ever. Like, let's reflect here. And it was kind of changing my perspective on the actual, the idea of exercise, but also looking at yourself and saying, okay, you've come this far. One day, 2 days, a few days off this week isn't going to change. And how I essentially did it was literally just changing my perspective on my abilities and kind of my capabilities, if that makes sense, and realizing this is coming from a place of anxiety. You don't actually need to be training 7 days a week or twice a day, 5 days, 6 days a week. So it was really kind of just rejigging and reassessing like it from a different perspective that I never would have done, because I would have in the past previously talked so poorly to myself with the anxiety issues and the self-image issues.
You obviously took a lot of steps then to mend your relationship with exercise, because it seems that you really, really love it, which is the core of all of this, because we want to engage with exercise. We want to have the crack. We want to go running. We want to play football. We want to do all those fun things. And when the mind gets involved and kind of, you know, puts little obstacles in your way, or big obstacles, it seems, you know, for many people, it can be really damaging to your relationship with exercise. So how did you bounce back from that over time? What's your relationship with exercise like now?
To be honest, it's still a balancing act for me, right? But I am such a huge advocate for physical health tying in with mental health. And they go hand in hand. And I said this to a guy recently enough, even just in terms of base level education on mental health, I don't think individuals out there realize the power of exercise, be it a walk, a run, the gym. And let's call a spade, a lot of the time people don't want to exercise, but it's so good for your mental health and well-being. So I think there needs to be like a base level kind of starting point of education of saying, right, you're getting outdoors, you're running, you're walking, you're exercising. That has directly positive impacts on your mental health. So there was no like magical secret ingredient to how I got over it or how I worked on it. It was just a gradual overtime self-reflecting, changing my perspective, going to talk to someone for help in order to kind of remodel my view of myself. Because when you don't have a good enough view of yourself, everything else is blurred. And that was one of the things what happened with my kind of my really important hobbies and interests, like running. So it was really kind of starting within in order to make everything else better.
There's almost an irony to the fact that you clearly love exercise. It makes you happy. It made you happy then too. But there were parts of your brain that would, I suppose, latch onto this love of your sport and make it unhealthy somehow for you. Meanwhile, exercise is supposed to be so good for your head at the same time. And your situation is what many find themselves in as well. So it's kind of just this weird type of irony.
It absolutely is. And I know, like, for me personally, it was with the anxiety and the OCD. I think to someone who wouldn't or hadn't suffered as much as me maybe in the past, they would have a better relationship with it. However, like, I'm actually on a call at 11 with my online coach, and we do discuss, and he still reminds me, like, the exercise you do for your mental health is just as important as the rest days you do for your mental health, because I still battle with that, because I still want to exercise every day because I know how good it can be for my mental health. But there comes a stage where you're kind of like, you're doing too much then, and it can have a negative effect I have a tattoo on my arm here. It says HUH365+1, okay? And that was from when I piled on a load of weight back, eating my feelings, very insecure, self-image, and kind of confidence was at an all-time low. Couldn't play the sports I really enjoyed. And then, as I said, I started running. So I ran for 365 days straight, and I lost 6 stone in a calendar year. And I was a new man, had to kit out the wardrobe. I was confident that was at an all-time high. And someone asked me, like, years later, what did I do on day 366? And I said, well, it's ingrained in me. I ran again. Like, I had the shoes on before I even noticed. And in that moment, he, for some reason, he just goes, oh, 365+1, baby. And that just stuck with me. And that stuck with me because I feel the importance of, like, building habits and routines and being consistent. It's like compound interest day after day after day. You keep showing up, just like your mental health and like work or whatever, particularly with exercise. You just keep showing up day after day, week after week. You get exponentially better over time. And so I put it on my arm, HUH365+1, to remind myself that, like, this is all about resilience and character building. And that's what exercise is to me.
Picking up on what exercise is to you, you know, resilience and character building you mentioned there. What have you got in the pipeline for yourself now, goals-wise, that puts all of that to the test?
So I actually decided one random Saturday just to run a marathon around Dublin in January. So I kind of ticked that box for the year. And so I kind of want to do a half marathon and then a few more smaller races. And then I also, would love to climb Kilimanjaro. I don't know if I'll get to do it this year. And then do the 4x4x48 challenge. I'm not sure if you've heard that. It's basically you run 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. And I want to do that for charity over a weekend. So they're kind of the things that I'll be looking forward to and training towards.
One thing I love about exercise, like working towards goals, I enjoy how it varies for people. My goal would be personally just to run like a 5K at some stage before the end of the year. And yet yours is literally to climb Kilimanjaro. It just goes to show, though, how there's no right fit for exercise. It can be tailored to your interests and what you want to do as well. And I must ask you now, looking back on how far you've come and everything we've discussed today, how proud would past Mark be of current Mark and all that he's overcome?
Like I was only saying, I'd love to go back to the 16-year-old Mark and show him this and say, like, things will be okay. You don't need to be so worried about self-image, self-confidence. You don't need to be so obsessed over certain things. I'd just love to have kind of like a time machine, and it would nearly make my teens a lot easier. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who relate to that. But now it's such a blessing, to be honest. And you know what? It all comes down to like just being really appreciative of the present moment, because you can get caught up worrying, oh, I wish I could go back and do that. But now I'm doing it and now I'm enjoying it. And I have like, I should be very appreciative to have the ability to exercise, because a lot of people can't. I'm really enjoying everything I do. I love trying lots of different forms of exercise too, because over the years, as I've said, I've played so much sport. I'll try anything, you know what I mean? especially if it's tough, like, cause I just like to kind of challenge myself constantly.
What would you say to someone who's in your shoes from then, now, and is struggling with their mind in any capacity, but especially with their relationship with exercise and body image?
One thing I was told is, like, you don't find yourself, you create yourself. And I think we fall into the trap of going out there around the world, traveling or whatever it is, to try find ourselves. But I would say to someone who's struggling with kind of self-image and also their relationship with exercise is, you're already more than enough. You just need to create yourself. And if I had known that sooner, I would have taken that advice. I would say, one, positive self-talk and realizing, okay, you're creating your environment and you're creating yourself. You don't have to find yourself. And two is, have structure to your workouts. Especially if you're in the beginning, I think start small, like just getting outdoors, ignore everything else online, do what's comfortable to do to you based on your capabilities, because you're not going to go out and run a 17-minute 5K if you've never ran before. So don't let that intimidate you. And then especially find something you love doing and double down on it, because you don't have to be a hiker if you don't like hiking. You don't have to be a runner if you like walking, if you like yoga, if you like whatever it might be. Just find what you enjoy and double down on it, because that will be the thing that will get you through to kind of the good, the bad and the ugly.
Mark, you've shared some really invaluable advice there. I'm sure it'll help so many. And it's been a pleasure to have you share your story with us on The Right Fit this evening and raise awareness for something that affects so many of us overall. And if you at home have been affected by the issues raised today, you can free phone the Samaritans on 116 123 for confidential, non-judgmental support. And other resources are also listed over at hse.ie. Mark, thank you so much for joining me. And next time, in the final episode of this series, I'll be joined by social media personality and yoga teacher Emma Kyo, who shares her journey surrounding body image in yoga and her decision to incorporate a slower approach to exercise.
The Right Fit with Valerie McHugh
on iRadio.